There is a truth.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise, a thing yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us. Jesus, Jesus. Who walks on the water, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled as a lamb, he carries my healing in his hand. Jesus, there is a name I call in times of trouble. There is a song that comforts in the night. There is a voice that calms the storm that rages. He is Jesus.
Yes, he is.
Jesus, who walks on the water,
the name.
There is a name I call in times of trouble.
Yeah.
There is a song that comforts in the night. There is a voice that calms the storm that rages. He is
Messiah, sing it.
Well, Messiah,
yeah,
my Savior, there is power in your name. You're my rock
and my Redeemer.
My Redeemer, there is power in
sing it again.
Your name.
Messiah.
Oh,
There is no one like you, Jesus. There is no one like you.
Come on, let's give Jesus praise in the house today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, there's no one like you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you just lift up a praise to the Lord Jesus right now? Just lift up your hands, if you will, and give Jesus praise.
Love you, Lord.
Give him glory and give him honor. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We lift you up. We praise your holy name. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me, if you will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 8, and then we're going to go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 13 through 15. Praise the name of the Lord. The scripture says, Brother Tim, if you don't mind to give me just a little bit more monitor in this mic. Thank you, brother. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Verse 1 says, finally, then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also forewarned you and testified, verse 7, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. May I remind you this morning that this is not my word, it's not your word, it's God's word. And if you reject what you're hearing right now, you're rejecting God, not me. You're rejecting the Holy Spirit. And that's a dangerous place to be in. 1 Peter chapter 1, listen. Verse 13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. That's basically an oriental phrase, basically saying get your mind prepared. Do whatever you've got to do to get prepared to understand what I'm about to say. Be sober. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Will you say that phrase with me, that last phrase? Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. One more time. Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Would you stretch your hands toward me this morning? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I know that you have given me this word for such a time as this. It's been burning in my spirit, and I know it's from you. And I'm just praying, Lord, that you would anoint me to bring forth your word. Help me to say exactly what you want me to say. Help me not to say what you don't want me to say. I pray that you would give clarity of thought to me, Lord, and be able to speak this word. And I pray that your people would hear what you are saying. May the Spirit speak in this house today, the Spirit of the living God. And may you be exalted, and may you be praised, and may you be honored in the name of Jesus. We pray all these things. And everybody said, amen. 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 John Zogby Maybe you've heard of him. He's an American public opinion pollster. And he once asked his respondents this question. He said, "What would you most like to be known for in this life? Do you want to be most known for being intelligent or being good looking or having a great sense of humor?" The number one response by over 50% of the people who answered gave this unexpected response. They said they would like a reputation for being authentic, real. For being authentic and real. I'm telling you, church, the world is looking for some people who are real, who are authentic, who live what they preach and what they profess. This postmodern generation is looking for authenticity. This world is tired of people professing one thing and doing another. It's time to live what we profess and preach. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it's time to live what we preach. It's time to live it. It's a clarion call given to us by the Lord. And he spoke to us last week through a message in tongues and interpretation that it's time. God is calling us to holiness. He's calling us to purity. God wants to purify this house. I believe God wants to purify the church. I'm not just talking about the Biltmore Church of God. He wants to purify the church and get us ready for his great coming. Jesus is coming again, church. Be holy. Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. This is not just a message for Biltmore Church of God. This is a global message from a global God who commands every believer from every religious background, every denomination, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. This is not just a message for the holiness Pentecostal movement. It's not just a message for the Baptist or the Presbyterian or the Lutherans or the Catholics or the Episcopalians. I'm here to tell you today, this is a message to the church. And God has said to me, I want you to deliver this message. And those who are listening by the way of the internet and you're online listening to this, I'm here to tell you today, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I don't care if your name's written on what membership roll. It doesn't matter how long you've been attending the church. It doesn't matter who your daddy was or your mama was or your granddaddy was. It's time to live for God and walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's time to be holy. Why? Because He is holy. He is holy. God has both called us to be holy and commanded us to be holy. Not every Christian has been called to preach. Not every Christian has been called to the mission field. Not every Christian has been called into vocational ministry. But every Christian has been called to be holy. Listen to this preacher today, because this is messages from God. Hallelujah. Reminds me of a story about a man that was being tailgated by a stressed out woman on a busy highway. And suddenly the light turned yellow just in front of him, and he did the right thing by stopping at the crosswalk. Even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection, this woman was right on his bumper. She blew a gasket, began to scream at the man, honked her horn, and gave him an obscene gesture. Everybody probably knows what that is. Some call it the Hawaiian good luck sign, but I don't know about all that. I don't see any good luck in it, really. And as she was still in mid-rant, she heard a tap on the window and looked up into the face of the police officer. The officer ordered her to get out of her car with her hands up. He put her in handcuffs and took her to the police station, where she was searched, fingerprinted, and photographed and placed in a holding cell. And after a couple of hours, a policeman approached the cell and opened the door. She was escorted back to the booking desk, where the arresting officer was waiting with her personal belongings. He said, I'm so very sorry for this mistake, ma'am. She said, well, why did you arrest me? He said, well, I pulled up behind your car while you were sharing down on your horn and flipping off the guy in front of you and cussing a blue streak at him. And I noticed what would Jesus do bumper sticker. And I noticed the choose life license plate holder and the cross hanging from your rear view mirror. And I noticed the Christian fish emblem on your trunk. And I just assumed that you had stolen the car. A Christian's behavior and lifestyle ought to line up with their profession of faith. The world is looking to you and to me as a light that shines in the darkness. They need to see that we are different. They don't need to see that we're weird, but they need to see that we are different, that we're shining brightly for Jesus, that we love when nobody else loves, that we'll help people when nobody else will help them, that we're kind and compassionate, and we bear the fruit of the Spirit, that we know who Jesus is. Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Hallelujah. 1 John 2 and 6 says this, now by this we know that we know him. You want to know how you can know that you know him? Are you ready? He said, keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. I'm so sorry. If that offends you, then you have to take it up with God, because he said, if you don't keep his commandments, if you say you know him and you don't keep his commandments, he said, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. How many know that God watches you when you're going down the road and somebody cuts you off? He knows what you just said to them. He knows what just came out of your mouth. He knows your attitudes. He knows everything about you when nobody else is looking and nobody else knows what's going on. That's what integrity is, brothers and sisters. That's what integrity is. A couple of weeks ago, we focused on Pentecost Sunday about the need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to live in the Spirit, and to walk in the Spirit. But let's dig a little deeper for a few moments this morning. Before one can be filled with the Spirit, he or she must be emptied of sin and separated from this world. You can't be full of the Holy Ghost and full of sin and self and selfishness at the same time. You've got to get emptied of yourself before the Spirit of God can be poured into you. In the Church of God, we have 14 articles of faith, and I mentioned those a couple of weeks ago, that are based on Scripture. We don't just come up with these tenets of belief. They are derived from the Word of God or from the Scripture. And one of those 14 articles says this: we believe in sanctification subsequent, following, or after the new birth through faith in the blood of Christ, through the Word, and by the Holy Ghost. And it goes on to say, we believe that holiness is God's standard of living for His people. Anybody still believe that holiness is God's standard of living for His people? As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us this in Hebrews 12 and 14. Therefore, pursue peace and holiness with all people, without which no man... Are you hearing me? Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You can't tell me that you can live your life however you want to and still be ready to see the Lord. You're not reading the same Bible I'm reading. Because He's called us to holiness. I want to link holiness and sanctification together in this morning in this message, because the two are inseparable. To sanctify something means to set apart for a special purpose. The Lord has come to sanctify us for His special purpose. How many of you know that that special purpose is so that we can be more like Him and be used by Him and be a vessel of honor for His glory and for His praise? You see, Webster defines sanctification this way: the act of making holy, the state of thus being purified or sanctified, to make free from sin. I'm so thankful we've been talking about in Sunday school class that not only does Jesus deliver us from the penalty of sin, that's what happens when you get converted and you get saved and you trust Him as your Lord and Savior. He also delivers you from the power of sin and the bondage of sin. I'm thankful that I don't have to live in the bondage of sin. He who called you to be saved has also called you to a life of holiness, to fledge this thing out day after day, day in and day out, to live in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. That's what He's calling you to do, church. The Church of God has made these words a firm declaration of our faith. Sanctification and holiness have been two of our fundamental doctrines since the time of our conception, although we don't seem to hear much about it today. I felt the Spirit of the Lord just quicken me of late and said, we need the church. I'm not just talking about the church of God. The church needs a revival of holiness and sanctification and pure living. We need to get back to the basics. We need to seek after Jesus, get in His presence, pray and seek His face, get in His Word, and walk in the Spirit, because you can't live for God on your own. You can't just decide, well, I'm going to live for Jesus, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. No, you need God's help to do that. You need the Spirit of God to empower you. You can't do it by yourself. That's why the Word says it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. With Him you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah. All things through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah. You see, I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about the Pharisaical spirit that we read about in Matthew 15, where the Pharisees come to Jesus and say, why do your disciples not wash their hands before they eat? I mean, they're always looking for a way. They're looking at the externals, the things on the outside, to try to trip them up and catch them in something. And Jesus has to, you know, He begins to say, wait a minute. Do you not understand? It's not what comes in, goes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out of him that defiles him. It's those evil thoughts and those adulteries and adulterous fornication and all these evil thoughts and murderers. All of this, that's what defiles a man. It starts on the inside and works its way onto the outside. So we've got to make sure we're taking care of the inside so that we can walk on the outside in holiness. Holiness starts on the inside. It starts in the heart, and then it makes its way on the outside, and we will live for God when we do that in practical ways. Is this even possible? I mean, He says, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Have you ever asked that question? Is it possible for me to be holy? Well, the first response I had to that was, He would never command us to do anything if it were not possible. How many of you know if God commands you to do something, He's going to give you the power to carry out that task? Amen? Hallelujah. He's going to empower you to carry out the commitments that you have made. Romans 8:1 tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, I'm here to tell you today, church, you know this. You've lived long enough. You know there's a battle going on between your fleshly realm and the spirit realm. And every single day, you've got to bring that fleshly realm. You've got to bring the desires of your flesh under subjection to the Spirit. That's why being in relationship with God is so vitally important. You can't let your guard down, because if you do, the enemy's waiting to pounce on you and to work through the desires desires of your flesh. But I'm here today to tell you, you can win the war over the flesh if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. The Bible says you will live. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's what I'm after today, life and peace in the Spirit. Hallelujah. The Methodist Catechism defines sanctification as a work of God's free grace whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God. And Nelson's Bible Dictionary defines it this way: the process of God's grace by which a believer is separated from sin and becomes dedicated to God's righteousness. That word process is so important because I believe that not only is sanctification instantaneous, where you can go back to a time and say, that's the time I was sanctified. Sanctification is also a process each and every day in which I'm drawing closer and closer to the Lord. I'm being separated from something, which is the world, the flesh, and the devil, and I'm being separated unto something else, which is Jesus Christ, who is holy, who is righteous, who empowers me to live for Him. No biblically sound church can look at this doctrine with indifference and say, well, that's just for the holiness Pentecostals. That's not for me. No, it's for every church. It's for the church right down the road, the one in your neighborhood, the one in another state, the one in another country. Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And without which, no man shall see the Lord. Notice that, pursue peace with all people in holiness. You see, it starts with our vertical relationship with God, but holiness also translates into our horizontal relationships. Because if we don't treat people the right way, and if you're always talking down to somebody, and you're holding bitterness in your heart towards someone, listen, you are not ready for heaven if you've got bitterness in your heart. That's right. I said it. Well, you're not God. No, I'm not. He'll make that final choice. But why? Why take a chance at letting something fester up and causing trouble in your life? Why not get free from it? Why not bring it to Jesus? Why not release it and let it go? Don't hold it. Don't hold on to that. It'll only destroy you. It'll only destroy you. I'm talking about sanctification and holiness. I'm talking about being separated from this world. How many of you want God's will for your life? You truly want God's will. Well, look at what he said right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Romans 12 is fitting right here. Verse 1, I beseech ye, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, what? Your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I believe that every one of us, every single day, we should come to the Lord in prayer. God, I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is my reasonable form of worship. It's only reasonable. Why? Because of what Jesus has done for me. He gave his all for me on the cross. He took all of my sin upon him and all of your sin upon him. It's only reasonable that now we offer our bodies. I mean, he went to the cross and offered his body. Any of you had to go to the cross and offer your body? No, he said, take up your cross and follow me. And hallelujah, take it up and follow me, Jesus said. offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And then in verse 2, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've got to renew our minds each and every day. This world is vying for our affections. The demonic spirits of hell that the enemy is unleashing, they're getting more intense in these last days as we get near the coming of the Lord. You've got to stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You've got to keep on the whole armor of God. The enemy's doing whatever he can to deceive the church, but you've got to be determined. You're going to stay in the Word and set your face like a flint and be renewed in your thoughts to think what God thinks and not what the world thinks. You know, the devil is slick and sly. He's very crafty and cunning. And it takes a closeness and an intimacy with the Lord to discern what's going on in the spirit realm. I like how the Message paraphrase puts that same passage in Romans 12. Here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering, embracing what God does for you as the best thing that you can do for Him. I like that. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Hallelujah. Holiness that God demands from us is a holiness that only God can give. God is not only why we are to be holy, He's also the way we are to be holy. He doesn't just say be holy and leave us to ourselves and say it's all up to you now. He says, be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. I've already set the example for you. I want you to walk as I have walked. I've already shown you what to do. Now follow me. Follow me. Any holiness that we have must be derived from God, because apart from God, holiness is impossible. Do you know why? Because only God is truly holy. God is holy. Will you say that with me? With conviction and with confidence. God is holy. One more time. God is holy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means that holiness is not a matter of religion. You can go to church and never miss a Sunday and not be holy. Holiness is not a matter of being a good person and doing good works. That's one of the greatest lies of the enemy. Well, I'm not a bad person and I don't do bad things. I got to be all right then, right? I mean, I haven't murdered anybody. I'm good to people. I just mind my own business. You can be good and sweet and kind and generous and honest and still not be holy. Holiness is not a matter of ritual. You can be baptized, take the Lord's Supper, and burn incense, and pray 5 hours a day and still not be holy. Holiness is a matter of relationship with God. It's a matter of intimacy. Being in His presence and letting Him work inside of your heart. No wonder He says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Everything that's going to happen in life is going to originate from right here. And if you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, with God's Spirit residing in you. If you truly know Jesus, you've got the Spirit of God residing in you. You will forsake a lifestyle of sin. Parentheses, repentance. Because if you forsake sin, that's repentance. Are you with me? And you will commit yourself to being like Jesus. This is where the world and even many Christians totally misunderstand holiness. Holiness is not just what you do for God. It is what God does in you and through you. This is why we must be connected to a holy God if we're going to live a holy life. So which one is it, preacher? Is holiness a lifestyle decision that I make, or is it a work of God's Spirit in me? Answer, yes. It's both. It's not either or. I believe it begins with us making a conscious decision that I want to live out what I have read in this holy book. He said, be holy, so I want to be holy. I'm making a conscious, deliberate decision to walk in a lifestyle of holiness as He's revealed Himself in His Word. But as you do that, how many of you know that that's not good enough, because you don't have enough sheer willpower to carry that out? You will have to have a power greater than you. People in the world call it a higher power. People who don't want to call on Jesus in public will say a higher power. But I'm going to say we need the power of the Holy Ghost. As revealed in Romans chapter 8, Paul came to that place where he understood, in spite of his best efforts, in spite of all the knowledge he had of the law, in spite of all of the hours upon hours, countless hours of studying the Scripture and studying the law, he still could not keep himself from doing the things that he didn't want to do. He said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? But he said in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, one more time, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul found the answer in the power of the Spirit. It was the Spirit's power that allowed him to be free from the control of his flesh and of sin's nature. The Spirit brings the victory in our lives. I said the Spirit brings the victory in our lives. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You will know what life is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what is the help that God provides? I've hit on one of them already, and I'm going to start bringing this to a close, and we're going to pray. Those three agents of sanctification, anybody remember what they are? The agents or the means or the provisions that God has given us, the helps. Let me simplify it even more. What are the helps that God gives us? He says, through the blood. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus? Through the Word of God and by the Holy Ghost. We are sanctified by the blood of Jesus, Hebrews 13 and 12. Jesus, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the gate. He refers to this sacrifice again in chapter 10, verse 10. We have been sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus once for all. 1 Peter 1 and 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. If you don't know who Jesus is today, I'm telling you, you can call on Jesus and His precious blood will wash you of every single sin and make you a child in His kingdom. That precious blood that washes your sin will also sanctify you from sin and make you holy unto the Lord. Hallelujah. He also said the Word of God will sanctify us. In John 17, Jesus prayed, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. He was already talking to people who had been saved, who had a born-again experience. And now he's praying, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That's why I said sanctification is a process, because when I get into this word, every single day I get a nugget of truth into my spirit. It sanctifies me from this world. It sets me apart from what the world is saying and what the world is doing. The world says it's okay for me to sleep with somebody outside of marriage between a man and a woman, either before marriage or outside of marriage. The world says that, but when I go to the Word of God, it says no. The world says it's okay to lie and to cheat, but the Word says no. Are you hearing me? The world says it's okay to get drunk, but the Scripture says do not be drunk. And I would take it a step further. I don't think you need to drink at all. There are too many people today, well, I'm just going to drink a few. God's okay with that. I'm just going to drink a few. That's another message for another day. But I'm here to tell you I'm a total abstainer from all of it. The best way to approach it is to stay away from it. Well, you hear that argument, Jesus turned water into wine. I said I wasn't going to get into it, but I'm going to have to just for a second. You heard that argument before? If you really start studying that, there was hardly any alcohol content in that whatsoever. It was mostly pure water. Are you hearing me today? So the alcohol that we have today was nothing of what Jesus turned into wine in John chapter 3. I'm here today to tell you that that wine is a mocker and we are to stay away from it. Read the book of Proverbs. Every time somebody gets into alcohol, it never turns out well. They get drunk at a party and things don't go well. They get drunk behind the wheel and somebody gets killed. Somebody becomes a drunk in the home and kids are affected for the rest of their lives. You got to get away from alcohol in the name of Jesus Christ. That demon spirit needs to be broken over your life and over your home. Hallelujah. I'm talking about be holy, for God is holy. Well, I can't do it by myself. Absolutely. You can't stay away from alcohol by yourself. You need God's power. You need God's presence. Get into this altar and let people pray with you and pray for you. It doesn't matter what you're facing, what's going on. It's not just sins of the outside. It's also sins of the heart. Some people got an ugly spirit. They got a fault finest. They got a Pharisee spirit. Well, I don't do the things that they do. You know. Like, because you don't do what they do, that you're better than them. Can I remind me today, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's nobody in here better than somebody else. We're all in the same boat. I'm so thankful that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. God does not show partiality to anybody. He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever wants to be free, oh, the Son will make you free indeed. I'm here to tell you today, there's no bondage. There's no power of the enemy that the Holy Ghost can't break in your life. I'm telling you, Jesus is moving in this place. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. I'm trying to wrap this up. We're also sanctified by the Holy Ghost. The blood of Jesus, the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost. The work of the Spirit is beautiful in bringing salvation. Because you can't be saved unless the Spirit convinces you that you're a sinner. You've got to come to the realization that I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Who brings you to that realization? The Spirit of God begins to knock on the door of your heart and convincing you that you are a sinner. You need Jesus in your life. You need a Savior. He convicts, convinces, and brings light. He points to the Lamb of God. He points to Jesus, who takes away the sins of the world. He comforts with gracious promises and bears witness of the work of God in our lives. But he's also an integral agent in bringing sanctification. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. In other words, the Holy Spirit shines the light of this wonderful doctrine on our pathway, and its truths are made clear. He shows our sinful nature and our desperate need for this sanctification to be set apart from this world, and bids us to walk in the light. He voices within us the need for separation from the attitudes and the actions of the world. How many of you want the Lord's approval in your life? You want God to be pleased with you. I didn't ask you if you wanted the Lord to love you, because some people get that, they get that mixed up. God's not going to love you any more than he loves you right now. He loves you unconditionally. He lavishes his love upon us. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the response to his love. Because how many of you know he looked at the woman who was caught in the midst of adultery and he accepted her just as she was? Neither do I condemn you. Right? There was no pointing fingers. There was no, well, I would love you if you would stop doing this. I would love you if you had a better past. I can't believe you've been with all these people. Aren't you thankful that God loves us just as we are? He doesn't say, get all cleaned up and then come to me. He said, come to me and then I'll clean you up. Come just as you are. But then he looks at her and says, go and sin no more. Why? Is it because he was being mean to her? No, that's what some preachers will say. You're being mean to people when you talk about sin. You're being mean to people when you talk about holiness. No, you're actually doing them a favor. You're keeping them out of hell. You're trying to help them live a righteous, holy, and godly life, because that's what it's going to require to get to heaven. Not everybody's going to heaven. I know some preachers will preach that when they get up to a funeral. Everybody's going. No, not everybody's going to heaven. Those who are living holy and godly are going to heaven. And so he says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 17, come out from among them. Who's them? Come out from that attitude and that mindset and that behavior of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Come out from among that. That's not who you've been called to be. Come out and be separate, says the Lord. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. He goes on in chapter 7, verse 1. Having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Well, how can I cleanse myself? By bringing yourself to Jesus. Because you don't have the power just to cleanse yourself. What you got to do here is bring yourself to the Lord. That's how you receive cleansing. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God is the blood of Jesus and the Word of God and the Holy Ghost that sanctifies us. You'll come, Pastor Tommy. And lastly, he says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he said, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Is he talking about people here? Is he talking about people? No. We're supposed to love people, right? All people. You love that contrary neighbor or that coworker. That takes the Spirit of God to do that, doesn't it? It takes the Spirit of God. He's not talking about people here. He's talking about the world's mindset and its philosophies, its ideologies, its practices that twist the truth to make it whatever they want truth to be. I've got news for you today, church. Truth is not what you want it to be. Truth has already been defined. It's already been outlined. And truth is not just about an ideology or a mindset. Truth is wrapped up in the person. You get to know the person of Jesus, and you'll get to know what truth is, because he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. You want to know what truth is? Get to know Jesus. Don't love the world and its ways. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world, it says, is passing away. That which you're so attached to, and you just can't live without, and you just got to have in your life. Guess what? It's passing away. And the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Listen to how the Message states it, and then we'll close. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out the love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in this world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important. That's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Are you with me? Has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. You know, one of the biggest reasons God calls, I believe he calls us to be holy, is because he's a jealous God. He wants us for himself. He doesn't want us to be isolated from him. He wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to be intimate with you. He wants to have sweet fellowship with you. So when you give yourself to the world, you have cut off. You've isolated yourself from relationship with God. He created you to be in love with him. To be in love with him. And the last verse says, the world and all of its wanting, wanting, wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about being set for eternity. Every one of us has eternity inside of us. You know that, right? He has placed eternity in your heart. Question is, where will you be when this life is over? Because we're all going to live somewhere forever. Forever. The world and all of its wanting, wanting, wanting is on its way out. But he who does what God says is set for eternity. Hallelujah. God is calling us to holy and sanctified living. Not to try to please brother and sister and so-and-so. That's what it used to be years ago. I got to do this because if I don't, they're going to jump all over me. If you grew up in the Church of God, you know what I'm talking about. We were more afraid about what so-and-so was going to say than what God thought. How many of you know that it matters what God thinks first and foremost? Because you're never going to always please everybody anyway. So you might as well not try to do that. But if you can please God first, you know that you're pleasing him. Isn't that what really matters? And to understand that when we sin, first and foremost, we're sinning against God. And that's where we need to run to, because he's the one with open arms. It's wanting us to run back to him. He's ready to forgive. He's ready to heal. He's ready to restore. He's ready to sanctify and make us holy and fortify us for the future battles Hallelujah. I just thought of that song, when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. One of these days, it's all going to be over. But we got to keep fighting to the end. Ain't that right, Sister Micah? We got to fight to the end. They that endure to the end shall be saved. Please stand with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Here's what I want to do right here. If you would say with me, Pastor, I'm committing with you to the Lord, my life to holiness and sanctification. Hallelujah. Not just a one-time event, but I'm talking about an ongoing commitment. And I'm also saying, I can't do this without the Lord's help. I need His help. I need the empowerment of His Spirit like the Apostle Paul did. So I'm committing myself to holiness. If that's you, would you join me in this altar as quick as you can get here? I am pledging myself. I'm committing myself to holy and righteous living. There ought to be a whole lot more people moving than that. Let's commit ourselves to holiness. Come on.